Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. So let's begin in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. You can tell Paul's got a little attitude right off the bat here, right? He's like, come on, you guys. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you, right? So Paul says, hey, tell me something. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So here's our introduction for today's lesson. What happened to you? Paul is asking them. How did you come under this spell? It's like you've been deceived. You've been bewitched. And you forgot that it was by the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus that you found this life in God. It never happened for you when you followed the law, and yet now you're going back to the law. So this is the dilemma that the Galatian churches and in many ways, even today, we find so many people. We get caught in this wanting God, but settling for religion. This is an important thought here, guys, because some of you are right in the midst of this lesson, this message right here. You're right there. Do you want God and a life of faith and walking with him, or do you want religion and the traditions and the cultural things that go along with that? And sometimes it's hard because there's pressure to follow your culture, maybe your nationality or your church traditions, maybe your family traditions. And they believe it very strongly. They're very committed to it. And if you try to break away, then you're bad. And there must be something wrong with you. So you feel that pressure and you kind of go back into that culture, that religion, that tradition. So Paul is challenging the Galatians and he says, hey, are you going to be bewitched? So now this is an interesting word. It literally means to have a spell cast on you. Who put you under the spell where you will trade your walk with Jesus for religion and tradition? What kind of spell are you under? That's what Paul is asking the churches in Galatia. And realize that Satan, the god of this world, is always trying to deceive, right? I mean, constant. He's the father of all lies. John chapter 8, all lies started with the devil. He's the father of all lies. So constantly lying like he did to Eve. Did God really say? No, God doesn't want you to become like him because God's... So always lying, perverting, twisting. And if you don't know the Bible, you believe things without realizing that's not true. You just kind of get caught up in it. And you think, well, it must be right. But Paul said, no, who bewitched you? You know that the Bible said Satan blinds the mind of those who don't believe. He's if you surrender to that spirit of the world, he's able to blind your mind. You don't even realize you can't see. And so many people in the world, they don't feel like they're rejecting God. They can't even see God. They have no concept of God. Their mind is blind to the things of God. So in the church, you and I have to be aware lest we also get bewitched, lest we also fall under the spell. And we start believing things that are not true and assuming things that sound spiritual but are not biblical. And do you realize how important it is that you don't just follow something that sounds spiritual? I mean, Mormonism can sound spiritual. Denominationalism can sound spiritual. I mean, hillbilly folklore can sound spiritual. But you and I want to follow that which is biblical. Because when we abide in the Word, we know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just because Aunt Betsy believes something in her religious tradition doesn't mean it will make you free. And most of us grew up with certain parts of religion and tradition and a little mixture of culture and maybe some denominational church life. But we didn't really know what was Bible, what's true, what really works. So Paul says, guys, tell me this. Did you get the Holy Spirit by following the works of the law or the traditions of religion? And of course, the answer was no. And for most of us, we grew up in different churches and different settings and had different spiritual beliefs. But what did it do for us? Where did it take us? For me, it just took me to addictions and trouble. So why would I go back to that? It's a strange thing. We often go back to things that didn't work, and we know they don't work, but it feels familiar. And this is where many of us get deceived. It's familiar. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to Grandma's church. Well, Grandma's church has been dead for 50 years. Yeah, but it reminds me of Grandma, and I just feel at home when I'm there. I just feel like I'm back to my roots, but there's no life. There's no Bible. There's no Spirit. Well, but, you know, I'm sure Grandma's happy, right? We just get into these weird emotional beliefs, and we forget this is not getting us to God, to the Spirit of God, to the plans and purposes of God, and we allow what Jesus called familiar spirits to deceive us. You've read in the New Testament about familiar spirits, right? It's this familiarity that seems attractive to so many. Why does the woman go back to the abuser? Does she like being abused? No, but it's familiar. Why does the guy go back to the girl that always cheats on him? Does he like being cheated on? No, but it's familiar. Why do you go back to the bar that's not cool? It's familiar. We have this human emotional thing that we will allow what we know is right to be set aside so that we can follow what feels familiar. So you have to decide, do I want God? Do I want God's word? Do I want truth that makes me free? Or am I going to settle for the spell, the blindness, the familiar, that which may not be biblical at all? Religious spirits, laws, rules, traditions, are always lurking, and their goal is to come between you and Jesus. So it's amazing to me how people can get saved, you know, be born again, get excited about the Lord, and then start going back toward their tradition. And you're like, but wait, you had to leave that to find Jesus. Why would you go back? well, my family's there and it feels like home. And, you know, it warms my heart. And what happens is you don't realize your mind is being blinded. And that bewitching, that spell from the spirit of the world is taking you away. If Satan can't steal your faith, he will pervert your faith. Are y'all listening to the World Cup game right now or what? Are you out there? Are you home? Anybody home? If Satan can't steal your faith, he'll pervert it. I had a friend, still do, in South Africa, and they had a staff member that worked at their church. And once a year around Christmas time, this staff member would go back to where they had grown up in a small village. They lived in Johannesburg, but they would go back to their small village for the Christmas season. And whenever this staff person came home from Christmas, my friend said to me, it just seemed so off, like they were discouraged and depressed and struggling. And it took them a few weeks to get back into the real world, right? Back into their normal life. And so one time they asked, why is it that when you come home from your trip to where you were raised, it seems like you're so shaken? And they said, well, you know, my family worships different than we do at our church. And they have a lot of traditions that we do and sacrifices and chanting. And it just takes me a while to leave it all behind. And they said, but why would you go there every year if you know it's not Bible? And this was their response. Well, that's how I was raised. So, if you were raised being abused, should you continue to be abused? If you were raised in anger and racism, should you continue? If you were raised in negative circumstances, should you? Right? But we just allow that familiar spirit. We allow that cultural tradition and religion to stay with us, not realizing it could be stopping us from so much of what God has for us. You know, there's another thing about witchcraft. My friend Rick Godwin did a book called Witchcraft in the Church. And it's not about Ouija boards and tarot cards. It's about church traditions. And 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, God said to Saul through the prophet Samuel, he said, rebellion and stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I mean, I'm sorry to talk about your husband, but I mean, come on. Rebellion and stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. So what happens? We allow these spiritual forces into our life through our rebellious attitude, our stubborn attitude. And Wendy said it earlier, we don't want to update, right? We don't want to change. We don't want to grow. We just get stuck. And that stubborn thing just starts taking over. And before you know it, you've been distracted. You've been led away from the things of God. So, who bewitched you? Well, the answer is the God of this world comes to blind the mind. And we need to realize we don't receive the things of God through traditions, through culture, or religious ways, but through faith in Jesus. Sometimes we complicate things, don't we? We add our own little bits and we complicate it. The Bible said, you are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, so that's it. We believe that Jesus died for us. He rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit. We receive, and it's by faith. It's not of works. Oh, but if you don't go to the right church, you can't be saved. But where's that in the Bible? Oh, but if you're not baptized in the right way, you can't be saved. Where's that in the Bible? Oh, but if you don't dress the right way and do the right things, and if you don't take communion the right way, and of course our way is the right way, then you can't be saved. See, we start creating all these additives, these additions to what the Bible said. I don't think God cares about any of that stuff. I don't think the Lord's too worried about how you dress. I mean, you should dress. But, you know, like somebody asked me, every now and then I'll get someone who's like, you let ladies come to church in pants? I'm like, yeah, we're happy they put pants on. But how do we get hung up on clothes? Jesus wore a dress. Many of you grow up in a church where the pastor wore a gown. I mean, one of the first cross-dressers. I mean, that's weird. I don't think God cares too much about that. Not a thing. It's not a thing. Right? Why do we make that a thing? Baptism is a funny thing. There are a lot of traditions around baptism. If you read your New Testament, which I know you do, you'll find there's several ways that people were baptized. I mean, it was always in a river. They were always immersed. Okay, but one time they were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another time they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And another time they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know there's a denomination that's been started on each of those sayings concerning baptism? Really? This is our problem? We're going to split this church and start a new church because these are the words that would need to be said. No. No. I think we should just throw you in the river and you just shout Jesus, right? Now, when I was a baby, my mom told me, I don't remember this, but my mom told me I was baptized in the Methodist church and they sprinkle in the Methodist church. Now, sprinkling started because when Constantine attempted to make Christianity a national thing, they couldn't dip everybody, so they were just sprinkling. They were just, you just walk by and you get sprinkled. So baptism has to do with immersion and burial. So we bury the old man and you're raised up. But I don't think the Lord's too worried if we sprinkle. I mean, we sprinkle you enough, you're buried, okay? It's good enough. The point is, where's your faith? You can get baptized in, let's call it the proper way, but if you don't believe, it doesn't make any difference. On the other hand, you can, I mean, Wendy was baptized in a swimming pool. That's a little weird, but okay. Faith in God is what makes the difference. Faith in Jesus is what brings all that he has for us. Do you know there's a man in the Bible who didn't get baptized, but Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Thief on the cross, never got baptized. Not a thing, right? We just create these things. Some people get so nervous about how you take communion. Did you grow up in that kind of a situation where how you take communion is a big deal? Like the priest has to put it on your tongue? See, I don't want no priest coming at my mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, back up, bro. I can feed myself. But, okay, that's their tradition. However, in that group, they believe in transubstantiation, which is a belief that the wine actually becomes blood after the priest prays over it, which is like, oh, okay, I guess if you believe that. However, how come you keep getting drunk on the blood? I don't think it's really becoming blood because you're staggering around here little too much blood. Right? So we just create these things and we should stop and say, wait, that's just weird. That's just a tradition. If they started it today, we would think, who would do that? But the fact that they started it decades or centuries ago, we think, well, it must be right. Hey guys, just because you do something for a long time doesn't make it right. So we need to go back to Scripture, find out what God thinks is important, follow what God says is important, and don't let the devil bewitch you. Always remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6. They asked him, how do we do the works of God, right? Because we want to do something. Give me the steps. What should I do? That's human behavior. Tell me what to do. So Jesus said, here's the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. That's the work. Believe, that's the work. Believe, right? So yes, there are things that we do because we're Christians. We have lifestyle, we have generosity, we have holiness. But the big deal is we believe. And that's what changes our life. That's what gives us salvation. That's what gives us eternity. How you dress, how you are baptized, how you take communion, that doesn't change your relationship with God. Come on, give me an amen right there. I know some of you are a little nervous. I think I'm stepping on some traditional toes. But by the end of church today, we will pray your toes are healed. All right, look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Galatians 3, 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, see, there's the issue. Is it stuff you can do or is it what you believe? This is important. Okay, well, in our church, we believe women should have a covering on their head. Okay. Well, in my church, I'm happy if women have hair on their head. So, you know. Right? Is it what we do or what we believe that matters? This is what Paul says. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham. Now, he goes way back before the Ten Commandments, before the tabernacle, before the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. He goes way back to Abraham and he said, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Now, this is a smack at the Jewish people, particularly these Jewish traditionalists and those that were perverting the gospel. He said, hey, you're not even a real son of Abraham unless you have faith, because that's what Abraham did. He believed God. Abraham didn't go to the tabernacle. There was none. He didn't make a sacrifice on the altar. There was none. He didn't follow a priest or Ten Commandments. There was none. Well, how did Abraham connect with God? He believed. That's what you and I do. Now, what we believe affects everything about our life, but we're not doing stuff to try to get right with God. We're living our life knowing that we are right with God because of what we believe. That's a big difference. If you think dressing right or coming to a certain church, or taking communion a certain way, or going through certain rituals causes you to have a relationship with God, you are mistaken. However, if you believe in Jesus, you believe he died for you, rose from the dead, sent the Holy Spirit, you believe you do have relationship with God. And it probably will affect how you live your life. But you're not living to get something. You're living because you have something. It's just like if my child got the feeling that I did not accept him. right? Caleb, Tasha, or Micah. And I just somehow I let them know, I don't think you're mine. I think you have some weird parents. You came from another planet. You're not my kid. Of course, sometimes we do that whenever they're misbehaving, right? We say to mom, go talk to your son. But what would happen to our relationship if I communicated to them that I don't accept them? Well, they might get rebellious and just say, fine, I'm out of here. And that orphaned heart would take over. Or they might start trying to do things so that I would accept them and try to act a certain way or say certain things so that I would try to win my acceptance. Well, that's another sign of the orphaned heart. Feeling rejected, but trying to be accepted. This is religion. This is what people do. Now, you might feel like, well, I've never done that before. Okay, but wait. Have you ever been praying for something that was real important to you? Right? Marriage, family, career, house, job, whatever. Something important. And it didn't seem like God answered your prayer. It didn't seem like it worked out. So then you said this to God. God, I've been going to church. I've been praying. I've been tithing. I do everything that they tell me to do. Where's the love? Why didn't you answer my prayer? So what's the subconscious belief? That what I do earns me answer prayer. And sometimes we teach our children that way. If you keep doing that, Jesus is not going to love you. How do you think Jesus is going to bless you when you act like that? So what's the subconscious message? Your works, you be nice, you do good, and God will like you. God will help you. God will bless you. But if you don't, God won't like you. Actually, God doesn't like the parent that teaches that more than the child. The child doesn't have a problem, but the parent has a problem. But this is the subconscious stuff that we battle with. Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? Look at everything I've been doing. I mean, I've been good. I've been clean. I've been trying. So it's hard for us to give up our works, our religion, our cultural tradition, and just say, Father, I believe. And if it doesn't work out the way I think it should, I'm going to continue to believe. If it doesn't go the way I want it to go, I'm going to just trust and believe. Well, what if God doesn't answer my prayer? Well, I'm just going to keep trusting and believing. It's a decision. It's a choice. I can't make God do stuff. So all I can do is trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. I got to stay right there. I can't start working religion to try to improve my situation. Okay, I'm sad for some people, but you've seen them. Maybe you've done it. I'm going to light a candle and, send some prayers up God's way, man upstairs. Really? What's the difference between lighting a candle and smoking some incense? I mean, what are you doing? Well, you know, incense is smoke and the prayer. No. When you pray, say. Smoke is not prayers. You tripping. Okay, third service. I just got to get to the point. You create these cultural, mystical, religious things. We used to light incense, smoke pot, and think we were Jesus. No, stop with all that. What's the Bible teach? Believe, receive. Trust, obey. Keep it simple. Don't let the devil blind your mind. Okay, I want to pick up reading in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Okay, so Jews get it by faith, Abraham. Gentiles get it by faith, same. Preach the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. Even to those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. How did Abraham get blessed? By faith. How do the Jews get blessed? By faith. How do the Gentiles get blessed? By faith. How do men get blessed? Faith. Women? Yep, faith too. See, anytime you exclude a people group, what you're saying is, well, they can't have faith. No, if they have faith, they connect with God. God accepts them. Why don't you accept them? Yeah, well, we don't want women talking in our church. Yeah, well, that's because they make you look stupid. We just get on these traditions. We get on these religious things, and we forget. It's so simple. Don't complicate it. Trust God, believe God, walk with God. You know, almost 50 years, Wendy and I have been doing the same thing, just trying to connect people with Jesus, pray with people to believe, and help them to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, you should talk more about the end times. Well, it is the end times. What else can you say? Well, you should talk more about, right? Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And before I run out of time, let me give you one more thought. Guilt and shame and condemnation will never give you enough power to live right. Sometimes when we say to the kids, if you do that, Jesus won't love you, we think that by making them feel guilty, that they'll do the right thing. There's not enough good in negative emotions like guilt and shame and condemnation. There's just not enough spiritual life there. It's like trying to run your car on water. You need gasoline or you need a battery. I mean, it's water won't do it. So condemnation never made people better. Guilt never made people better. Shame never made people better. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So just love people and just be good to people and tell them God is good. And that will, if they want God, they'll come to God. Now, if they don't, there's nothing you can do about it, but that's your best shot, is love them into the kingdom and let the goodness of God bring them to repentance. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.